This morning we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the first seven verses. That should be up on the screen, and invite you to follow along there, or if you have a Bible with you that you brought, you can do that, or if you're watching at home, you can get to it there as well, on your own Bible or on your Bible app, or whatever you've got. So this is God's word to you and me today, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Heavenly Father, speak to us today through these words, through this passage that was written so many centuries ago, but is still relevant and pertinent today in our lives. So Lord, teach us through it about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, this morning draws to a close the series that we have been in this summer on the Holy Spirit. Next Sunday, we'll begin a new series titled The New Normal. I'll give you one guess about what influenced that title for the series. We will look at the different facets of living in the face of unexpected circumstances. You know, what brings new normal into our lives? How do we respond? And ultimately, the most important question in all of this, I think, that we will look at to some degree each and every week, where is God in the midst of this? Where is God in the midst of the quote-unquote new normal that we find ourselves in? Whether it's a pandemic or, you know, whatever else may be going on in your life. Loss of a job, divorce, news from kids that breaks your heart, whatever it may be, loss of a loved one. How do we adapt in those situations, and where is God in the midst of them? So those are the kinds of questions we will look at. It's just a four-Sunday series, a little brief, but that's where we're going to be beginning the new year with kickoff Sunday next Sunday. But first, we need to wrap up our Spirit-filled summer series, and today we are looking at the gifts of the Spirit, which ties in very closely to Back to Church Sunday on the 20th, which I already mentioned earlier, the National Back to Church Sunday. But the theme for it is Stronger Together. I probably should have even titled today's sermon Stronger Together, in fact, because that is arguably the main point of spiritual gifts. And Rob, you stole the words out of my mouth about Haley's message, and she basically preached today's message in like a minute and a half. Didn't know that was happening, actually. So praise God for alignment of themes today. So if today's message, if you get, you know, sleepy and tired partway through it, you stayed awake through hers. So you get the Cliff Notes version right there, and you're good to go. That's okay. So permission to doze off maybe today. Can we just say that that's all right? So this is one of the most important aspects of the Christian faith for us to understand, the spiritual gifts, this gifts that the Spirit gives to us. It's one of the most important things for us to understand. And not only to understand intellectually, but for us in our hearts to be convicted even and convinced to live into it. That it wouldn't just remain something that we know up here, oh yeah, God's Spirit gives spiritual gifts and everyone has at least one, blah, blah, blah. No, it's more. It's for us to live into. It's so important for us to be convinced of that. So that's where we are today. During the French Revolution, there were three Christians who were sentenced to die by guillotine. One Christian had the gift of faith, and as we'll see in a moment, all Christians at some level have the gift of faith, but some have it like in kind of like beyond, like in just exceeding ways. So one had the gift of faith, the other had the gift of prophecy, and the other had the gift of helps. The Christian with the gift of faith was to be executed first. He was asked if he wanted to wear a mask, a hood, over his head. He declined and said he was not afraid to die. He said, I have faith that God will deliver me, he shouted bravely. So his head was positioned under the guillotine with his neck on the chopping block. He looked up at the sharp blade that was above him. He said a short prayer and then waited confidently. The rope was pulled and nothing happened. The executioners were amazed and believed that this must have been an act of God. They freed the man. The Christian with the gift of prophecy was next. His head was positioned under the guillotine blade, face up again, looking up at the blade. And he too was asked if he wanted the hood. He said, "No, I'm not afraid to die. However, I prophesy." He has that gift, right? "I prophesy that God will deliver me from the guillotine." At that, the rope was pulled, and again, nothing happened. Once again, the puzzled executioners believed this to be a miracle of God, and they freed the man. The third Christian with the gift of helps was next. He was brought to the guillotine, and likewise, he was asked if he wanted a hood. "No," he said, "I am just as brave as those other two guys." The executioners then put him face up under the guillotine and were about to pull the rope when the man stopped them. He said, "Hey, wait a minute. I think I just discovered what the problem is with your guillotine." If you didn't catch that he had the gift of helps, that's kind of the, I thought that was pretty funny. You all are chuckling too. I thought that was pretty darn funny. I just came across that this week. And it fits because too often we Christians are afraid to use the gift that God has given us for fear of being like that last guy. It's like there's an underlying presumption that if we get involved using the spiritual gifts that God has given us, that it is somehow going to lead to our demise or lead to a less gratifying life. Maybe we fear that all of our free time will be used up serving with this gift that we have. Or we fear that we might encounter relational challenges as we join in the team that Haley spoke of earlier, as we become a part of that using the gifts that God has given us. Or we fear that we might let someone down or let the whole church down because we might make a mistake or drop the ball on something that we said we would do. And it's like we fear that by using our gifts, we're going to only ultimately bring suffering and hardship upon ourselves. Maybe not full-on death by guillotine, but hardship nonetheless. So are we supposed to take the gifts that God has given us and bury them in the sand because of fear? You know, Jesus tells a parable about three different guys who take what's been given them. They're given gifts, you might say. And while two guys use those gifts in a positive way, the third guy literally buries his in the sand. And then later, the guy who gave the gifts comes back. It's a parable, and the guy who gives the gifts is representing God. He asks what they've done with the gifts, and the one who buried in the sand is scolded while the other two are praised. So we're not supposed to bury it in the sand. Strike one there. Scripture also tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So don't let fear prevent us from using it. Strike two. That's two strikes against us. And I had no idea we were going to have a softball-themed thing before. And actually, I did know it, but I didn't connect the dots until just now as I'm sitting here speaking this. Strike two against fear causing us to not use the spiritual gifts that God has given us. And we all know that it's three strikes and you're out. So maybe we should try a different approach with the gifts that God has given us besides fear. A different approach than fear. The passage this morning that we read is kind of the tip of the iceberg on spiritual gifts, and I think helps us to get over the fear of using our gifts. Most of this chapter here, this 12th chapter in 1 Corinthians, is on spiritual gifts. So it continues on beyond the seven verses we read. If you want to follow up even more beyond even the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, you can read Romans chapter 12. The two chapters that ended up with the numbers 12 before them, both on spiritual gifts. About half of the Romans one is on spiritual gifts. Also Ephesians chapter 4. Is another significant chunk, not the entire chapter, but a good chunk there is on spiritual gifts as well. So those three are probably the most significant pieces of scripture on the Holy Spirit. All told, I don't know, there might be 50 verses or something there. We've read seven here total. And these seven verses that we're looking at today, while they do just sort of scratch the surface in one sense, They also give a big picture overview of the spiritual gifts. It really does a great job of introducing them, including the purpose and the role in the life of a follower of Jesus that the gift has. So they're a great place to start in understanding the spiritual gifts. So I want to dive into this passage. In the first three verses, just take the first three in one fell swoop to begin with. In the first three verses of today's passage, Paul is communicating that even faith in Jesus is a gift of the Spirit. And I mentioned this a little bit a moment ago as well. He starts to speak of the gifts of the Spirit in verse 1, Paul does, and then it feels like he kind of changes course. But he's not. He's saying in the end that you can't confess Jesus is Lord without the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's a gift. Being able to say yes to Jesus is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And then from there, we are given this incredible four-verse introduction and overview of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. First, we see that there are many different kinds of gifts, but they all come from the same Spirit. They all come from God through the Holy Spirit. What are the many kinds of gifts? Well, some are found later in this chapter. Paul lists some at a couple different places, in fact, here later in 1 Corinthians 12. More are listed in Romans 12. Some are overlapping. There are additional ones there. Also in Ephesians 4, again, some overlap, some new ones. There are others mentioned, two or three or four, in a couple of different places in Scripture as well. The bulk of them are in these three passages, though. And the gifts run the gamut from the gift of administration to apostleship, from teaching to speaking in tongues, from miracles to martyrdom. You only find out once if you have the gift of martyrdom, by the way. It's not a gift that very many people actively pray for. We also see here the connection between the gifts and service, as he writes in verse 5. He says, there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Paul is reminding us here that to use the gifts of the Spirit is to serve the Lord, Jesus Christ. In the church where I was first served as a pastor, as associate pastor, in fact, I was associate co-pastor to begin with, as my wife Gwen and I shared this one full-time associate pastor position. We shared it half-time each. And there was a gentleman there who was just a member of the congregation. He was a retired Baptist pastor, and he had ended up in our Presbyterian church there in Salt Lake City as a congregant. I think I've mentioned him before. His name was Jim Bailey. He passed away, I think it was 4 or 5 years ago. It means it probably actually was like 10 or 12, of course. But I think it was just 4 or 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago. And one of his favorite things to remind, one of Jim's favorite things to remind us of as church leaders, as a congregation, in Bible study classes he would lead and so forth, one of his favorite things to remind us of was that the Bible does not advocate for people to volunteer their time. In fact, Jim would say that volunteer never appears anywhere in Scripture. I actually looked it up this week. At least in the NIV, it occurs 5 times. Twice it is followed by people who volunteered to serve. So it still puts the emphasis on service. The other 3 times, it just talks about volunteering. But it is definitely in the minority. The Bible definitely speaks of serving above and beyond and instead of just simply volunteering. We are servants in the church. We serve as opposed to volunteer. And there's a difference. I think the difference is in attitude. It's a difference in our posture towards it. It's a difference in our approach to the mission and the vision, the buy-in of what's going on, the commitment it takes, and so forth. When we have an attitude of serving, it changes everything. And when we use the gifts of that the Spirit gives us, we serve the Lord Jesus, even as we serve other people, either inside the church or outside of it. When we are serving in the name of Jesus, we're serving Him even as we serve others. Then in verse 6, we see that using our gifts requires work. Here's the amazing thing that turns this on its head for us, though. It's not so much that we are working. And for sure we do. I don't want to minimize that. When we serve, you work in some way, shape, or form. The people who are running soundboard and the computer, you know, leading up front, whatever. There's a work. Brett, checking people in. It's a job that he's doing for us to serve us. And there's work. So I don't want to minimize that. Serving is work. But underneath it all, and in it all, regardless of the work that you or I may be doing as we serve using our gifts, God is at work. God is working. He is working, doing a deeper work through us and also in us. You see, when you use your spiritual gifts, God does something through you to those you are serving. People are blessed by it. We are all blessed by the work of those who serve on Sunday mornings. We all benefit, right? Amen. And praise God, they do. Additionally, God is at work in us when we serve. Serving is growing. It's part of discipleship. Too often we miss the God is working in me aspect of this when we are serving others or when we're thinking about serving. Many of us have heard people talk about, you know, having gone on a mission trip or served at a homeless shelter or a nursing home or teaching a children's ministry class or a VBS or whatever, going on a youth retreat. We've heard people come back from those kinds of things and say, hey, I thought I was going to be a blessing to them, but they were a blessing to me. I got as much out of it or even more as those who were there that I was there to serve. We hear those kinds of messages frequently. And it's true. Because God is in our working as we serve using our gifts. So God works through us for sure to bless others. But God also works in us as we serve. Then the final thing that comes to us through these verses is in verse 7. Paul writes, now to each one, each person, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. In other words, to each Jesus follower, gifts of the Spirit are given for the common good of the church. Which, by the way, remember, the church does not exist for itself. We reach out into the world. So to invite people to be a part of that. If you are a follower of Jesus, you have a spiritual gift. You may even have a few spiritual gifts. Depending on who you ask, or in how you read scripture, and I understand a couple of different things, there are somewhere between 7 and 30 spiritual gifts. The number is kind of wide, if you just look at the research and see what people, how they comment on this and so forth. And the variation is there because some of the gifts aren't explicitly labeled as such in scripture. You have to kind of understand the context and see that, okay, it doesn't say these are gifts of the Spirit, but clearly what's being talked about here are gifts of the Spirit. And some people just have a little more narrow understanding and discount those ones. And that I'm not interested in that debate, and that's fine. It's not that big of a deal to me. I personally come up with around 25 or 26 as I read scripture. So you could certainly have 6 or 7, maybe 8 of them, if you're going with, you know, a bigger number of spiritual gifts in scripture. If you think you have all 25 or 30 of them, then you basically think you are Jesus, though, and there's a problem there. But you may very well have a handful of them, or maybe just 1 or 2, and that's okay. But the most important thing in all this is then at the end of this verse, and it answers this question, why are the gifts given? I think this is always the most important question you can ask. It's the most important information to have when studying something, working on something, whatever it may be. How a thing operates is interesting. You know, what a thing is interesting. How it's put together or whatever, that's fine. That's all interesting stuff and can be really fascinating. But why something is gets down to its purpose, its mission, like the reason it exists. For instance, the fact that Jesus came into the world, we would all say, that's a good thing. That's good. Right? That is a good thing. How he came into the world is really interesting. I mean, that's fascinating. The birth narratives are amazing. Really interesting. What Jesus said, what he taught, the miracles, those are good. Those are interesting. What he did on the cross is good. But the answer to why Jesus did all that is what really matters. In fact, that's what really gives all those things any depth and meaning. Why Jesus did it. Why Jesus was who he was and is who he is. It gets to the heart of the matter. It gets to the mission and the purpose of his ministry. Of what he did. All the way to the cross and the resurrection. So why are the gifts given? Why does the Holy Spirit give gifts? Paul writes, for the common good. In other words, for the good of the church, which is the body of Christ, carrying out Jesus' mission. It is all wrapped together. The gifts are for our good, not individually so much and not like selfishly. The gifts I have are for your good, for the good of the church with a little c and church with a capital C when I have opportunities to speak to others, but for the good of Rose Hill primarily. And they're for the good of all that we do together as a church. The way God has designed the church is that we would be like a team that comes together, with each person contributing with the gifts that God has blessed them with, so we would achieve something great for God's kingdom. Why does God do it this way? Because we are stronger together, as I touched on earlier, and as we'll see in a couple weeks with the theme of Back to Church Sunday. We are stronger when each person does their part using the gifts of the Spirit that they have. So God brings people together in His church, and collectively we work as the body of Christ, as His hands and feet. In fact, that's the metaphor that Paul uses. I think it's actually over in Romans 12, maybe it's later in 1 Corinthians 12 here. He compares it to a body. He's like, look, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. Like, a body needs all the parts. And so we're all invited. We're all equipped with gifts of the Holy Spirit and invited to participate in the ministry of the church, to serve using those gifts. That's true at churches all over the world. Here in Kirkland, around the globe. And it's true even as we think of all those churches working together as the body of Christ. Like, certain churches have different, I guess you call them gifts, maybe that's the right word to use, but different ethoses and different ways to look at things a little bit, and it all fits together. Works together as a team. Let alone in any individual church and its members, its individual people. So right here at Rose Hill, God has brought together a collection of people. And together we are the body of Christ here, carrying out His mission. And each one of us is a part of it, whether you're here physically or you're watching online. We are each a part of it. Our mission is Jesus' mission. So we are His body, working together with those gifts, and we are on mission as Jesus, with Jesus' mission. Jesus says in Luke 19 that He came to seek and to save the lost. He says at the end of Matthew chapter 28, the disciples are to go and make disciples, right? Baptizing them, teaching them everything He's taught them. That's our mission. Those two pieces together are our mission. Inviting people who are far from Jesus to know Him and helping to disciple people. They would have an ever-deepening discipleship to Jesus. It all fits together. There is no greater mission to be a part of, and therefore no greater team to be a part of than the church. And God has given you a gift or multiple gifts through the Holy Spirit to contribute to the mission and vision of what God is doing through us and in us. So what if we, the people of Rose Hill, believe this with all our hearts? Like, not just that intellectual knowledge and understanding like I talked about at the beginning of the message. What if we actually believed in our hearts that we each have a gift or multiple gifts that God has given us for the express purpose, of building up the church, for the good of the body, for the common good of the body of Christ? What if each of us believe that God has equipped us to benefit others? And rather than getting two strikes and letting fear lead us to bury our gift in the sand or just to ignore it, what if we use the gift for God's glory and the betterment of His church? What if that happened here at Rose Hill for each and every person who calls Rose Hill home? And if we did that, we would be, and we sang a song earlier. I didn't even know this was coming. There's all kinds of things today they're tying together. We would be a church on fire. And not like in the mid-1970s when the church burned. I mean on fire with the Holy Spirit. An unstoppable force in our community for the kingdom of God, inviting people to know Jesus and making disciples of Jesus. I actually believe that probably most of us understand the gifts of the Spirit in that kind of intellectual way. If you've been a part of Rose Hill for the last 7 or 8 years, as I've been pastor for almost 8 years now, you know that I've preached on this before. This is not the first sermon you've heard on the gifts of the Spirit. You've heard it in other places as well. You've read these passages before. So I am preaching to the choir today. So we know this in an intellectual way. Some of us, not all of us for sure, some of us struggle to live it out. We struggle to take the gifts that God has given us, a gift that he intends for us to use, and we struggle to do exactly that, to work for him, to serve Jesus. So here's my ask this morning. What if each of us gave a minimum, I'm just going to suggest a number, I'll just pull this out of the air, a minimum of 5 hours a month to the ministries of Rose Hill Church? That's like more or less an hour a week. I think it comes out at like 68 minutes if you really want to do the math. I know there are many of you who already serve in a variety of ways, and many of you, there are a number of folks at our church who give more than 5 hours a month. And I may have set the bar here, and you're already here. I'm begging you, don't cut back down to the minimum. We need all the service we can get for the ministries of the church, and probably even for your own growth, for your own nurture. God's working in you in that. And I'm so thankful for those of you who selflessly give and serve so many hours each month. From writing cards to people who are sick and homebound, going through difficult times, giving rides to people who are facing cancer surgery and chemo. And there are people who have signed up to give a ride to people like every day to take them into Seattle for their chemo and back. And they're doing that for people, like for their 3 or 4 week chemo treatment. Some of you serve as an elder or a deacon, or maintaining our website and other digital and electronic kinds of things that you help with. Leading Bible studies, teaching classes, improving our church facilities and maintaining them. The list goes on. And if that's you, if you are already serving in any of those ways, and a lot of you serve in multiple of those ways, please be encouraged by today's message and know that you have positively impacted the body of Christ here at Rose Hill and our mission in the world around us. Like, lives are changed. If nothing else, you impact me. I am inspired by the people who serve and give of their time and use the gifts that God has given them. What if each of us, though, served at least 5 hours per month? God has given you a gift for you to use for the common good of the church. Maybe you have, just a couple of examples here, maybe you have the gift of hospitality. And you'd be a great greeter on Sunday mornings, welcoming people, checking them in during this COVID era at least, you know, pointing out where the restrooms are, where the, you know, the cry room is, or the nursery, helping people with those kind of things. We need a few more people on that team, to be honest. It could be using your gift of administration to help with the organization or communication for a ministry team that already exists, like just coming alongside to help facilitate things and keep things moving in the right direction. Not necessarily even leading the team, but just being kind of the administrator. If you have the gift of martyrdom, don't worry, we won't find a role for you to use that one. We'll let that one be between you and God. Teaching, helps, service, there are so many. Like I said, 25, maybe 30 gifts you could even say. And for many of these gifts, if you match it with something that you enjoy, like yard work, construction, computers, being with kids or teens or homebound senior adults, cooking, writing, organizing, I mean, the list goes on, then you find the sweet spot of ministry where your spirit-given gifts and your God-given passions like intersect and mesh and work together. And then your service doesn't even feel like work. It's pure joy. And God works through you in powerful ways and in you as well. So I'm asking you to consider how you could serve. Even in coronavirus, you know, a lot of our ministries are a little bit scaled back. There's not as much happening. But there's still many opportunities. And there are new opportunities that come about because of it. 5 hours a month or more. You could do it in one fell swoop on a Saturday, like at a work party kind of thing, or it could be an hour each week. However it takes shape, God has given you spiritual gifts to use, not to be buried, not to be held back by fear. Some of us maybe have two strikes against us already. It's time to hit a home run. And God has equipped you to do exactly that with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Would you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, thank you so much that you invite us to partake in your mission and your ministry in this world. How humbling is that for us? And you don't leave it to our own devices to do what you invite us to do. You equip us with these gifts of the Holy Spirit. So God, help us to have clarity and understanding about our own individual gifts, how you have shaped us and made us. And then, Lord, give us the courage, not fear. We don't want to be a slave to fear, Lord. Give us the courage to step out and put those gifts to use. We know as we do so, Lord, you will work in us and we will benefit from that. We will grow as disciples of Jesus. But Lord, help our hearts to be mostly in tune with and motivated by serving people and serving you. Being on board with your mission and your vision. Being a part of what you are doing. Changing, transforming lives, and building and shaping disciples of Jesus. So Lord, may our gifts be used for your glory. We pray it all in the strong, certain name of Jesus Christ, and all of God's children said together, amen.